Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sink or Be Sunk, your newest World of Warships podcast. I'm your host, Helicopter Rescue, and your co-hosts are Doomlock and HMS Thunderworld. With the release of clan battles, some people have been wondering what the future of the competitive scene is. So in today's episode, we will do a Q&A / discussion with the admins from King of the Seas and Supremacy League. If by chance you don't know, they are player-run competitive events where teams duke it out for flags and deployments. Without further ado, do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I'm Dominic. I play on the EU server, and I'm one of the admins of the King of the Seas tournament, which you might have heard of. And that's what I've come to talk to you about today.
Hi, guys. My name is Vast79. Play on the NA server. One of the admins and co-founders of Supremacy League, which is also hopefully something you've heard of.
We'll go ahead and get some of the questions started off. So, both of you guys, how many seasons do you typically have in a year?
Well, we wanted to run one. We wanted to run the tournament with 1 month break in between. I mean, it's a pretty cutthroat pace. So we've ended up having, I think, five this season. We would have another one here in December, but clan battles is on, so we're going to hold off for a bit. It is quite breakneck. Many clans were kind of worried about burning out, but we don't really care. We want to do this for the community, and if someone doesn't want to participate, then someone else can get in. So around 4 to 5.
I see. How about Supremacy League?
We typically run about 2 to 3 because our format's longer than King of the Sea. It's a little bit different format. So right now we're currently in the middle of season 5, which is actually the second season we're running this year. We ran season 4 in the new year. It started, I think, in February and ran till May. This season is decidedly shorter. We cut 4 weeks off the season time. This will be the last one we run for the year because, like, clan battles is running. We get into Christmas and everything else, so we'll look to run another one probably sometime in the new year. But it's going to be a different format. We're going to look to shorten it some more to make it a little easier for the teams.
All right, then. Next question will be for Dominic. When you're going to restrict what ships you allow into the King of the Seas, what do you tend to look for? What makes the restrictions as they are?
We want to have dynamic gameplay. We also want to add some variety. It's pretty obvious. We saw some of the I think early Supremacy League where you had 4 BBs and then 3 DDs smoking them. It all adds up to a very, very stationary meta. And one of the latest changes we've had is, for example, just reducing from 3 battleships to 2 battleships. And as a cruiser player myself, I can tell you that it's much more fun because you can actually sail around, where previously the cruisers just had to sit behind mountains or in smoke for fear of getting instagipped. We also have a limitation on DDs for the same reason. We limit the USN DDs because of the really powerful smoke, just to keep it more entertaining for the viewers and for the team, so you don't just sit there and camp all day. Another restriction that has come up quite recently has been the Kutuzov change. It's being removed from the shop, and we have already decided that if it's not being sold, then we won't allow it in the tournament, because it wouldn't make sense if you had new up-and-coming teams who want to participate, and then they would just be on a different power level because they didn't own this ship. So a lot of thinking goes into ship limitations, but mostly is to keep the meta fresh, as it were, and to give people a chance.
The next question is for Voss. As said, that there was a Supremacy League has its own versions of limits of ships and stuff. As I see, apparently was a limit of 3 battleships. With the new smoke changes that came with this past patch, where of course the larger caliber guns really get punished with you sitting in smoke, camping smoke with like battleships and stuff. And I've remembered seeing a couple videos where that came into play immensely. Now that it's been nerfed drastically, do you foresee things changing with battleships and such and limits?
Honestly, for the season, like with the 3 battleship limit, teams will still run 3 battleships, right? The HP pool is still worthwhile. We go back and we review, just like King of the Sea does in between seasons, for our rule sets, for our fleet compositions. We may review and look to do like a shift down to, say, 2 battleships. I do like that. We just for this season, we were looking at a couple different options and they didn't quite work out the way we wanted. So we kind of went with something that we knew, right? I think with the smoke changes, you'll see it becoming a bit more mobile, right? Like, yeah, you can smoke your battleship, it can heal, but trying to shoot out of it like it was previously is not going to be a good idea because it's going to get it focused, right? So,
yeah.
And in all honesty, like in our gold division, like the guys shift their meta pretty fast when changes come as well. Like you'll see the guys looking at the patch notes, looking and seeing what's coming and seeing what they can do to shift to meet what they need to with the requirements of the patch notes, right? So,
indeed.
The next question will be for Dominic. How was King of the Seas? What's the inspiration behind the making of?
Basically, we trained a lot. It's me and three other guys against All Odds Clan and Tor. We were practicing a lot, and there were a few small tournaments up and coming. And yeah, it was kind of a competitive scene started to evolve. And we sat down and said, yeah, we're going to do a tournament. And then, as you know, we have the flag that goes around for each winner. Mm-hmm. And, initially, we wanted to do, like, every 2 weeks, have a really small tournament. But and Toby said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to go big. And then we ended up with this format of having playing it over one or two weekends. I think the strength of this is that patches don't have that much influence. We realized when you have a three-month league, then patches and meta can change dramatically, and the power level of each team can change dramatically during the season. And you also have teams falling out. So we wanted to compact it a bit, make it a bit easier for the teams. I mean, it's only 2 days you have to be there. And it also makes it so that they don't have to plan it themselves. We just have a meetup, and then we take care of everything. And then also it's more, compressed entertainment when it comes to streamers and everything. So that's kind of what we landed on. And even though it can be quite exhausting running a tournament like that, I think it's working out pretty well.
What's the inspiration behind Supremacy League and how was it made, Faz?
So about 2 years ago, there was a group of about 6 to 8 clans in the NA server who were doing some internal scrimming. And we sat down, we developed basically a ship composition rule set to use when we were doing our internal scrims. And then a couple of us from APOC decided, well, what's the next logical step from this would be to actually organize a league to run and offer to the NA community. So we did our first season in January of 2015. Started with 8 teams, and we've grown from there. I mean, like, we've never been lower than 8 since the first season. Currently this season, like, we got about 28. We have had a few teams drop out. Like I said, like Dominic mentioned, like, the length of Supremacy sometimes is a hindrance for a couple teams. Clan battles starting didn't really, I won't say it hurt us, but I mean, some of the teams decided they were going to focus more on clan wars and clan battles. It's easier to get into, right? You don't have to worry about uploading a training room, using Aslan's, anything like that to get into it, right? You just drop in through the UI and away you go. I mean, that's how we got there, right? Like I said, we'll see what we're going to do. Like, we're going to run another one. It's just a matter of what format we use. Some of the teams have asked to look at a more King of the Sea style format, which I, as an admin, I think I'm kind of aboard for as well, because running it for 2 or 3 months is a lot of effort for the teams, a lot of effort for the admins as well. We spend a lot of time on game nights making sure everything runs as fluid as possible while the teams are playing. So
nice. This one's back to Dominic. Obviously, rules change, rules are added, rules are modified, etc., etc. What would be most likely reason one would be added or modified?
Well, if you have ships that are just an absolute no-brainer to take. I mean, of course, all teams, there's a meta evolving, and all teams are trying to min-max as much as possible. But when one ship just completely takes over, then it's grounds for, review, trying to see what can we do to sort of mitigate this. Because the battles just get one-sided. I mean, it's not fun looking at the same shit happening over and over. It's fun to see how different teams play and, different play styles. And when one ship, the MK in particular, just stands out so much that it rules the meta, then we start looking at it. And the same can be said for the Benson. It's one of the primary reasons, because it's just a better DD at smoking and stuff than everything else.
Yeah.
And I think you can especially see it with the Le Yuang got its hydro buffed. It's everything. It's the only ship that's being taken by the top teams. You have to have a Le Yuang because it just performs better than a Benson.
Mm.
So that would be the most. I mean, we haven't had problems with ships being outright broken or anything. Wargaming are pretty decent at not releasing absolutely broken stuff. So we haven't had to deal with that just yet. But we are definitely looking very much at trends and shit. I have a spreadsheet up here with all the picks from the last tournament. And I did notice that on average there was 2 Le Yuang / Benson brought by every team every game. Mm. So that's a fun little statistic for you.
Nice.
And for the Chapayev, it was 1.23 per game.
That is very interesting.
Radar is a powerful tool, especially when there are U.S. destroyers running around.
Yeah, especially when you put it into a doom snail, then it gets really, really nasty. But it is gonna be fun to see what happens with the meta, because we definitely already experienced in clan battles that the extra ways of playing around radar by sending in a DD to spot makes it a bit more interesting sitting in your smoke cloud.
Clan battles are very interesting.
Oh, I'm sure we will get to that later.
The next question goes to Vice. What would you like to see from Wargaming when it comes to these tournaments?
I'll go with a diplomatic answer first. I would totally like to see a built-in training room into the UI with basically a blind insert for both teams to come in. I would also like to see a built-in spectator besides having to crash the tier 1 boats in the corner. Those would probably be, for me, the two biggest things to see. Less diplomatic? Yeah, we'll just leave it at that for now. We'll go with those two. I'd like to see a built-in training room and spectator, like real spectator tools.
Yeah, it would be really nice if they got the ones from say World of Tanks. Well, I've seen some of the league battles from some of the live streams before, and it's a pretty nice interface they have.
Yeah, I mean it would make life so much easier with better spectating tools. Not to mention that it actually influences the battle how many spectators there are, because the battles, as we have seen many times, just they go 20 minutes every time when you have 3 carriers per side ganking themselves. And it does make a difference in strategy. I mean, I've lost games that would have been won if the spectators hadn't been there. So I'm definitely looking forward to them improving the training room and spectator mode.
All right, so the next one goes to you, Dominic. So if a team or clan wanted to be involved in the tournaments, what requirements would they have to meet and or go through to join the league?
There is absolutely no requirement to join. You just have to sign up in the thread, and we will pick the quickest one. Of course, the top seeded teams from the last season will get a spot to keep it interesting. But it is a competition for the community. It is a chance for everyone to get in there and have some fun and try out some competitive. It's definitely been very motivating to have, complete no-name teams just coming in and saying, hey, it was fucking hilarious. It was an awesome tournament. Thank you so much for hosting this. So you just have to sign up. And if I may add a little addendum, please speak English. I'm sure you don't really have those problems in SL, but please have at least one guy that can speak English. It makes it a lot better. But otherwise, anyone can sign up.
For Supremacy League, do you guys have, what are the requirements for anybody who wants to get involved in the tournament?
So it's just like King of the Sea, we will take anyone, right? As long as you've got the ships that you can meet for the fleet composition lineups. Because we run a season, we do a qualifying event. The last one ran over 2 weekends. So we take all of our new teams, and have them play through a Swiss pairing bracket so we can slot them in the division they need to be in. We run 3 divisions. We run a gold, silver, and a bronze to try as much as we can to line up the teams skill-wise to keep the matches interesting for both the teams that are playing and anybody who's watching, right? Nobody wants to play and have a blowout, right? Nobody wants to watch a blowout. You want to see nice close matches, play nice close matches. And I think some of them still go 2-0, but for the most part, I think we're fairly good on how we slot the guys in for how they're the teams in, sorry, for how they play each other. So what we do is we'll run a sign up event, typically either like through our Discord. We'll post on the World of Warships NA forums. They run about a month or so, gives the teams time to get signed up, get familiar with the rule set, run the qualifying event, and then run the season.
The next question is for both of you. If someone wants to get involved with something more behind the scenes, is there a way for people to do that?
We run a Discord, a King of the Seas Discord, where everyone that's representing a team is welcome to come. And we also run a very, very nice crew of adjudicators who helps us on game day, because it is getting quite big, King of the Seas, and you need extra hands to handle stuff on game day. So if you want to help us out, just drop by the TeamSpeak, the Discord, and ask around. We really love our adjudicators. They're doing an awesome job. And if you feel for it, just drop by and have a chat with us.
We're the same way. Like we run a Supremacy Discord. We call them refs, but we have a bunch of refs that help out. I mean, Helicopter's pitching in this season to give us a hand. Same thing. If you want to help, like swing by the Discord, look for one of the admins or Maccabee, who is the head ref. Give him a little private message and say, "Hey, I'm here to help. What can I do?" We're always looking for extra referees because the same thing. It's a pretty big workload on game nights. Not saying that we have a lot of issues, but it's nice to have a little couple extra sets of hands around to give you help in case something does come up. Easy thing to do is come to the Discord and say hi.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's been definitely interesting and fun being a Supremacy League ref.
I know what it's like to be busy on a game night. Already just learning how busy can be with just the clan battles these past couple days for the first weekend. It's like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Got crazy.
Well, I'm sure the guys for like King of the Sea are the same as the Supremacy guys, right? Like, I know my guys in Apoc sit around like the first couple nights of the week are tape review if they have it, map tactic for strat comps, right? Scrims on Fridays to get ready for Saturday, right? Like,
hold on.
Some of these comp guys like spend three or four nights a week like prepping for their matches. So,
yeah, I mean, we really learned it the hard way. The first King of the Sea. I won't go into detail because it was all behind the scenes, but let's just say it was hectic. And then having to play as well, that's why we started recruiting a lot more adjudicators, and it has helped out a bunch. So it's really awesome that people want to help out with that.
Nothing like your mistakes to make you learn, huh?
Oh yeah, I slept well that night.
So with all, you know, clan battles coming out, smoke changes, and, you know, a lot of new ships and stuff, what do you guys have planned for Supremacy League and King of the Seas for the future?
You want to open Vas? Because my answer is not that interesting.
Sure. So we've been talking as admins, looking at future seasons. The first thing is probably going to be, like I said, is going to be a cut down on the amount of time. I'm completely expecting Wargaming to run a season of clan battles and then run in rank a season of ranked and then a season of clan battles, right? Back and forth with not a whole lot of break in between. I'm not sure I can justify running a season that's 6 to 8 weeks long with all the built-in things that Wargaming is running. We can kind of compete because I think ourselves and King of the Sea offer a slightly higher end for some of the higher comp teams to play at, as opposed to clan battles. But we're also fighting against the fact that they have the built-in interface. It's easier to use, right? The rewards are easier to get. So we need to adjust and adapt to make sure that we're still relative, right? So the biggest thing for us to be looking at season length, do we want to set up? The next big question is, based on clan battles being at tier 10, not every team whose comp has like 19 point captains are put on tier 8 stuff, put on tier 10 stuff. Do we look to switch the ship tier that we're using for Supremacy? And I'm sure that you guys are having the same conversation for King of the Sea.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's definitely interesting. I mean, we got a bit blindsided by the fact that being tier 10, pretty annoying actually, because we've done a lot of testing. We used our own training times to test out the format, and you know, every single change we make is tested through and through to make it as good as possible. And now we have to adjust to tier 10, which is, you know, quite jarring.
So the other thing is as well is like you can see the popularity of clan battles. There is a little bit of rumbling about people being disappointed that it's 7 versus 7, right? So I haven't kicked around the idea with the other admins yet, but I've kind of poked some of the some of the players in the Supremacy Discord about maybe looking at going to a 10v10 format for Supremacy, right? Adding an extra guy in, see if there's any interest in that. When we do changes in Supremacy, we typically talk about them in-house, let some of the teams that we know play around with them to help them test them, kick them back out to the rest of the teams for a quick review. If there's a huge huge stink about it, we'll go back and review and make sure that we're not offside about it. Like sometimes some of the teams will just not like a rule change no matter what you're doing it for. Like I kind of understand how wargaming is when they like release something and like you watch the forums just like rise up with pitchforks and torches ready to burn somebody. You're like, well, you got to look at everything, right? This isn't just specific to you. It's for everything. So, yeah. Dom, what do you got?
My answer is more of the same. We decided on not doing a King of the Seas because we already have a League of the Sea running, which is a nice little tournament. So people have something to do on Tier 8. But we want us to just wait and see how this pans out because we literally had no idea. I mean, this... I'll honestly say I'm not too happy about the format. Excluding carriers is... quite controversial, and I think it's something that could have easily been avoided by changing the format. A carrier on in a 7v7 game on tier 8, a carrier would also dominate, and is even worse on tier 10. So I think increasing the team sizes and then including a carrier could definitely be viable, and it is something we will test out. But we are watching very closely in the team battles, clan battles, sorry. We very interesting to see how it pans out. And but the guys got together, and we really want to keep on going. We love doing the King of the Seas, and I think people like what we're doing. So there will definitely be some in the future. It's just gonna be fun to see whether it will be tier 10 or tier 8. But I can promise you that we will do our utmost to fit carriers in.
We won't take carriers out of Supremacy, right? They provide, as much as some of the people like clan battles and like the fact that there's not a carrier there. They provide an important role. Right, in all honesty, talk to any actual comp CV driver, like they actually hate their lives for the most part because they don't get to do a lot of the same stuff they get to do in public queue, right? Because everyone specs for AA, right? Everyone, like every ship is running an AA spec. If the guys can strike something, it's usually like mid to late battle when some things have been killed, some of the AA mods have been knocked out, and they can actually get their planes through. One of the biggest things the guys are actually kind of excited about is the AA changes, right? So they can't get stealth fired by like an AA Benson anymore.
Oh man, tell me about it. I played a lot of competitive carrier, a lot, and those Akizukis, man, fuck that. it's so brutal. It's also going to mean that you can't really spec AFT on your destroyers anymore.
Yeah.
So it will have some fun implications.
Yeah, definitely. some of the destroyer guys, I could see the single solitary tear roll down their cheek as soon as like Wargaming mentioned that change, right? Just like, but my Benson in Supremacy, it picks up like 35 plane kills. It's like, well, it's not going to happen anymore because he's going to see it, right?
Yeah, so, but carriers are still plane OP, kills. Right?
Yeah, carriers are OP.
I mean, so. They're OP if you let them. I mean, there are tools in the game to mitigate the impact of carriers, and if you use them correctly, I mean, you talk about one-sided gameplay, and oh, there's no fun that he could just strike me, I can't do anything. Well, if you have a clump of a Kutuzov and a NC sitting three places on the map, there's not a whole lot the carrier can do either, so it kind of works both ways.
Like, I think that the thing that they're missing, right, is like, especially for the comp side, like, we've been doing this with CVs for so long, we know how to spec our boats, right? You're like, there's going to be a CV, spec for AA, make life as hard for this guy as you absolutely can, right?
Yeah, because if you don't, he's going to take over.
Exactly. And then the other thing is, too, is like, they talked about the skill discrepancy between, like, you know, if some team has a Unicum CV and the other guy isn't. Well, we have CV drivers on APOC who aren't Unicum CV drivers, right? We teach them how to, like, make sure they use the team around them to win the air battle if they think they're going to lose because the guy's got more skill, right? Like, there are ways to mitigate those things, right? Right, I mean, you can mitigate those things.
There's a huge difference from playing random battles to playing competitive because you use your team way more. You use A of your team to mitigate it. And honestly, I mean, if you can take a top 10% carrier player and put him up against the best guy on the server, and as long, I mean, you can, and it's not going to be a huge difference. There's going to be a little bit of spotting, but it's not like in a competitive environment that a carrier can fully outplay the other. You just keep your planes back, you sit in the AA bubbles, you spot, but you can spot. It's, yeah, I have a hard time following some of the arguments about carriers sometimes when I've been playing this much myself and just really felt sometimes you just can't do anything in a carrier.
It does boil down to kind of a, if they do it, they're going to face opposition. If they were going to leave them in opposition, take them out opposition, it's just like, darn if you do, darn if you don't.
Anything just... Wargaming does is like that. Especially with our community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have faith, right? They've gone on records that this is, like, season one is a test season, right? We'll see how it pans out. We'll see what changes that we need to make for season two. Change if they need to change it, right? Listen to the feedback. I honestly, like, for Clan Wars, I'd like to see them bump up to 9 versus 9, right? Go a couple more people. Like, we have people queued up in the Discord, like on our CW nights, looking to run, right? And at 7v7, it's like, okay, rotate a couple people in and out, and away you go. If you made it a little bit larger, like, you know, a few more people involved makes it a little easier for some of the guys, right? I know some of the smaller clans, like, you've seen it already, like, oh, well, we've only got like 6 or 7 guys, how are we supposed to play? It's like, well, you have to step out of your bubble a little bit and go find a few people. Like, I know that the recruiting thread on the NA forums has been, like, going crazy for the last, like, month, like, people looking for a clan as soon as they announce clan wars, right? Or clan battles or whatever.
I think most people looking for clans are looking for the rewards for the naval base more than anything else.
I mean, but it's still a reason to draw them in, right? And then you have guys to go do it. I mean, like, at a 30 oil pop per win in CW, right?
Oh yeah, it's been not really nice. I will say though, with the only the one battleship cap that's been in there, it's been very interesting to see the cruisers be able to, you know, work flex their muscles, as you will, and do what they are meant to do. Like you said, Dominic, with the less battleships. And the more battleships where they were hiding behind rocks and smoke and stuff, they're able to get out and sail and do things that normally they could not do.
I mean, it's a very, very fun topic, because I was also pretty surprised by the reaction of the community. It feels like a balance change geared towards the top 5% of clans, because I think most of the battles, it wouldn't matter if you had two battleship drivers, because the power spike from tier 8 cruisers to tier 10 is huge. I mean, tier 10 cruisers is where it actually gets fun, and you have the DPS and the tank ability and the range to really, really mess up BBs. So the thing is that the good teams, if you have two really good BBs, they will just set up crossfiring positions and lock down the map. It's so nasty to see it done when it's done correctly. And I honestly think it wouldn't be a problem for most of the people. But for the top clans, I think it would be really, really bad to have two battleships.
One last thing, guys, is there anything you want to promote? Anything you want to let people know about?
Come to our Discord. We're looking to expand it a bit. It actually started out as just a place for reps, but we're looking to expand it a bit. I'm sure I can get you to put a link in somewhere near this podcast.
Heather Elaborate. Down in the description.
Somewhere. Yeah, we'll figure it out. And come hang out and keep playing warships, keep being awesome.
I would promote the fact that we were doing a donation drive, contribution drive for Supremacy Season 5 prizes, but we decided to close that this morning right before I came on. So I will say that we raised $2,000 to kick in for our prizes for this season.
You're welcome for the help.
Thanks, Thunder. of the 2,000, after we pay some of the fees and stuff for the software we use, we're going to have about $1,920 US for our prizes. So, thanks, Wargaming. You kind of got us a little bit more involved with the community. So here's hoping, I'm hoping by the fact that we had to raise our own prizes that that Wargaming sees that there's still a need and a want for some higher level play, right? The guys want it. Like, we went to our community guys and asked them, like, listen, we're having a bit of a disagreement with Wargaming about roster sizes, and they're not sure they're gonna give us prizes. So here's the option that we have, is we play without them, or we do a donation drive to see what we can get. And I figured maybe we'd get $500 or $600 or whatever, and we, like, completely blew our actual goal out of the water by $500. So So I mean, like, if you want to experience some decent play that's typically kind of fun, come play Supremacy next season, right? It's good. It really is. we had guys who did the qualifier and guys who did like their first couple of weeks. I was like, wow, this is completely different than anything I've done in Warships before, because I've never experienced playing with like nine guys on a team from my clan or nine guys on a team working together all in the same comms, right? It's a completely different experience.
That is.
You should know, Thunder. You've played a few.
Yeah, I haven't played recently because time zones are a bitch. But yeah, that's partly why I started playing, actually, because it is a different play style. It's totally different than playing on randoms, even ranked.
Well,
I haven't been on Clan Wars yet, so I don't know the difference there. But
the big thing is that it's all team driven, right? And
yeah, it is.
It's not that ranked feeling where some dude's like trying to save his star because you're gonna like drop a match, right?
The way I describe it is, it's a lot more fun when you don't have to worry about what the rest of your team is doing, because you know the rest of your team actually knows what they're doing, or you got someone telling you what to do. Both good.
It's a whole different feeling, right? And I think they really did it well with the reward system in Clan Battles, where you get the same experience, everyone. I think they really hit that on the head.
It makes it, it shows that, you know, this single player did not win it. All you guys won it.
I mean, I experienced the joy of it by dying early in my Des Moines and then going for a smoke and coming back to 2,500 experience.
Of course, I'll link all the information, not only, you know, for both of the guys, their Discords. You can also find them on the EU forum for King of the Seas. And you can also find Supremacy League on the NA forums and ask more questions there for sure. For our next segment, there's different kinds of segments we do where we like to interact with our guests. And for today's episode, we'll be doing Tell Me Something I Don't Know. These guys will have 1 minute to go into the World of Warships wiki, the official wiki, and find an interesting fact. And then after that, the three hosts will judge them on three things. One, whether it was interesting or not. Two, whether it was something that we knew or not. And three, whether it's demonstrably true. You know, you can't just come up and say, hey, the Zuma has a third gun in the back, you know. And then after that, we'll pick, you know, whose fact that we like the most, and that will be the winner of the segment. Are you guys ready for this, Voss? My timer is ready. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
All right, and go. You have 1 minute.
Should have prepared for this, shouldn't I?
Yeah, probably should have. I actually asked if you guys already knew about it.
I did, but then I completely forgot about it.
Well, that's all right. If it's any consolation, I completely forgot we were doing this whole thing. Until about half an hour before we started, when Heather's like, hey, we're doing this thing, by the way. Just had me sitting here, and so I was like, oh, yeah. Totally didn't forget that at all.
Oops. Totally. You didn't forget it. You just purposefully misplaced it.
Yeah. I mean, it was on a sticky note. It's here somewhere.
I have mine, and this is going to be hilarious.
Oh, I have a good one, but it's not actually demonstrated on the wars. It's not actually on the Wargaming Wiki. Fuck.
It's fine. And
hey, as long as you can prove it, it's fine. You got to be able to prove it.
And we're back. So we'll have Voss go first.
So apparently, Wargaming Rickrolled me. So the Season 3 Supremacy Gold League champion, if you go to the description notes, it's lines from Rick Astley. So it says, for the description, the notes, never going to hurt, never going to give up, never going to give you up, never going to let you down, never going to run around and desert you, never going to make you cry, never going to say goodbye, and never going to tell a lie and hurt you. So it's on the wiki on the flags page. If you go look at the flags in the game and scroll down and find the Supremacy League Gold Champion flag, it's a red flag with gold writing. It says Season 3 on it. The notes is lyrics from Rick Astley. So I got Rickrolled over a year ago and didn't even notice. Thank you, Q and Pablos.
It is. I didn't know that.
That is fucking hilarious.
I've never looked at this page before.
Oh, that's glorious. Ah, that's brilliant. I love it. Yeah, that's going to be hard to beat. Good luck, Dominic.
Yeah. So, do you know that the Warspite has a citadel in the cold storage area? We have. There's been so many refits of the Warspite. The one they're using is the old one, because it doesn't have torpedoes, right?
No, the Warspite doesn't, no.
Yeah, but it used to have, and there used to be a place where they stored these torpedoes. That since got changed to cold storage, and in the refit we have, there's no torpedoes, so it's actually cold storage. But in the game, it's a citadel. So you can actually hit the Warspite in the fucking meat and potatoes and citadel it. And I have two pictures to back up my claim. It's not from the wiki, because I'm a scrub, apparently. But I will post you the two pictures, and you can sort of see that the in-game is actually has a citadel in the cold storage area.
Oh, wow.
That's the best I could do, guys.
Ooh, okay. Remember when I said good luck? I don't think you needed it. You've actually made this a hard choice.
I do my best.
Because the vital, important parts of the Warspite are not the machinery or the engines. No, it's the meat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would have been, if it hadn't been for the fact that it was cold storage, we could have made tea jokes. But yeah, damn it.
What is with your Americans and your damn tea jokes?
I ain't American.
I am also not American.
Yeah, well, shut up.
This is very, very hard.
I got to be careful not to be biased as well.
Okay, my decision is I have to go with Dominic. Even though the flag is very interesting, the information is very interesting, this is, I find it to be more what kind of a reaction thing.
Interesting, he says. Not hilarious, just interesting.
What about you guys?
Have you made a choice?
I have. I kind of have to agree, despite the hilarity of Voss being you being rickrolled years later by something you didn't even realize, the fact that Warspite can be citadel by hitting a meat locker is just pretty hilarious, especially to a history nut like me.
That's fair. I'm totally okay with this. That's a nice find, Dom.
Thank you.
Yeah, I gotta go with the flag, though. I mean, you can't leave a good rickroll down.
I know. That's an amazing rickroll, too. It's like, but this is so hard.
I'm a little biased because I think the Warspite is a pile of crap.
You should have played it when they released it. It was broken.
Well, that and Vass kind of runs my clan.
Oh, I remember when Warspite was released. Everyone, yeah, the like range complaining. I remember the complaining about the range. That was the most hilarious.
Oh, please. People complain about everything.
Anyways, thank you guys for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. This is the second
pilot.
Yeah, second pilot.
It's like World of Warplanes 2.0. We're still learning.
Thanks for taking the time to be here. Agreeing to interview, even though you didn't know the podcast and it's new. Thanks a lot, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's been great fun.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm more willing to come talk Supremacy and King of the Sea and comp stuff all day.
All right. We'll have you guys on sometime in the future.
I think you'll definitely get a poke when we know what we're going to do with the King of the Sea. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, hopefully when you're next on, we're a bit better oiled machine. Right now, we're kind of making it up as we go.
What do you think I'm doing?
Thanks, fellas. It was good.
And that concludes the episode. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Our release schedule is going to be every 2 weeks on Mondays. So stay tuned for more episodes with some amazing guests. We are currently just releasing on the NA forums, and we'll soon be expanding to more social media platforms.
and we'll keep you updated on that. Fair seas, captains.